And so that's my biblical basis for referring to these four beasts, these four living creatures or living ones, that they are angelic beings, and each with their own characteristic, this face with these symbols of a lion, of a calf, a man, and an eagle. They are worship leaders, and they lead the worship in heaven, because when they go forth to praise the Lamb on the throne, the elders follow through on that.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak Today. We're coming again to Revelation chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the four beasts in particular. But as there is a blessing promised for reading the book of Revelation, let's take a moment and just read the chapter, and then we'll get into the specifics. Revelation chapter 4. Follow along in your Bible as we read God's Word today. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders, sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of the eyes within. And they rest not night and day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This is Revelation chapter 4, and what a beautiful chapter. It gives us sights and sounds of heaven, of the Lord upon his throne, the angels, the saints gathered around that throne in concentric circles with the 4 living beasts or living creatures as they direct the worship of the Lord. We could call those the worship leaders of heaven. And what a mighty sight. I pray that today the Lord will take these things and make them real, living, and personal to your own soul. Stay tuned now as we let the Bible speak from the pulpit of our church here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale.
The elders follow through on that. Would you read that with me? In Revelation 4 and verse 8. And the 4 beasts, now I think cherubim here, and the 4 special angels, they're special angels, had each of them six wings about him. And again, that is a key to their very nature, that they had six wings. And as I mentioned in Isaiah, there were those who had two wings to cover their face, two wings to fly, two wings to cover their feet. And so these living creatures or beasts, they are angels. And it tells us there, and when they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. Now you're probably wondering, what is the relevance of the four faces? These four distinct descriptions of these four living, special angelic creatures. The face of a lion, the face of a man, the face of a calf, the face of an eagle. Well, it has been pointed out many, many times by Bible students that they relate to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The lion represents Matthew. That's the gospel of the king and the kingdom. The second one, which is the calf, that is Mark. And that is the gospel of the servant. The third one is Luke, the gospel of man. And we will look at the incarnation of Christ. Jesus had to be man to be our Savior. And then the eagle is John. That is where John soars into the deity and the glory of Christ. The remainder of our time tonight, I want to look at that. I want us to think of Matthew, that gospel, as the lion. Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the book of Matthew. Now, in that book, the Lord Jesus is designated as from the tribe of Judah. And Matthew begins with that genealogy and points right to Christ as from the tribe of Judah. Matthew is the book of the king. It's the book of the kingdom. The infant Christ, when he is born, the wise men, they come saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? They're looking for a king. And in Matthew 13, you have the parables of the kingdom, a whole list of parables. And it is the gospel of the kingdom. The word kingdom appears 56 times in the book of Matthew. And the word king, the title of king, 20 times in the book of Matthew, more than the others. So Matthew is the lion, and the lion creature is presenting the gospel of the king. When you get to heaven, you will worship the Lord Jesus as your king. He is not only the king, but he's the king of kings in this book of Revelation. He is the sole king, and to him every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. And I trust tonight that he is your king, that you have already made him to be the king of your life, and that you worship him as your king. Now remember, these living creatures are worship leaders, and they are leading the others, the elders who represent the church, to worship the Lord as the king. Some fear and tremble to make the Lord the king of their lives. But if you're going to be in heaven, if you're going to be in glory, a true worshiper, you need to invite Christ to be the king of your life. King of my life, I crown thee now. And in that way, you will become a true worshiper. Now in Revelation 5:5, let me not miss this before I move on. Look at Revelation 5:5, and you will see that it says, "One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book." And so this link between the Lion, Judah, and opening the book as Savior, as King, with all his mighty power. This is the form of worship. We must not think of Christ as our buddy, as just another terse friend. He's the King and the King of Kings. And in that way, we worship him. We move to the calf now, the face of the calf, which represents the book of Mark. The calf, or ox as some would interpret it, is the beast of burden to serve. Even to this day, in various parts of the world where there is no automobiles, no modern machines, the ox is put to work as the beast of burden. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus. He came as the servant. And when you glance through the book of Mark, you will find that the Lord Jesus is the servant. Mark is a gospel about the miracles of Jesus, the works of Jesus. You will find the word straightway and immediately. It's a book of action. It's a book where you learn of Christ at work for his kingdom and doing the will of his Father. And then, of course, also that ox can become the sacrifice. And we're told in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." If we're going to be true worshipers, we're going to put our faith in the work of the Lord Jesus, that he is the true servant who came to win and bring about salvation for us, and that he laid down his life as a servant for us. Is that how you worship the Lord Jesus? Is that how you think of him as you lisp his name in prayer or praise? The calf, the ox, the servant of the Father. Is he the one that you're trusting in his work to be your Savior and Redeemer? We move then to the book of Luke and the man's face, the man's face. When we study the Gospel of Luke, and I want to take a little bit of time in this one, if you would just go back with me to the book of Luke and just flick through the pages a little bit, you will find, of course, in chapter 1 that this gospel that was written by the medical doctor, Luke, the beloved physician, that he digs into the incarnation. He digs into the true humanity of the Lord Jesus. And in Luke's gospel, chapter 1, you have the interview with Mary. And you have Mary being advised by Gabriel that she is to be with child and that holy thing which shall be born of her. And her question was, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And of course, the answer and the reassurances come in that chapter 1. And there Luke recorded her song of praise for the incarnation, the miracle that she was to be the virgin chosen to bring forth the Savior into the world. And so Luke dealt with the humanity, the true, real human nature of the Lord Jesus. And then when you look at chapter 2, verse 1, you will see that Luke went to some length to record the registration of Christ in his birth through the decree of Caesar that census that he commanded should be taken, or that taxation that everyone should return to their own home area to be registered, to be taxed. And through that, the real birth of Christ was recorded for all time as an absolute, unchangeable truth in fact. In chapter 3, in Luke's gospel, down in verse 38, you will see that Luke, this medical doctor, interested in the humanity of Christ, that he records the genealogy of Christ all the way back to Adam, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Our Lord Jesus was true man. And to be our Savior, he needed to be of our very nature. He had to be our bone of our bone and body of our body, and of that very nature that he would go all the way to the cross and lay down that life upon Calvary as a Savior for sinners, our elder brother and our Savior. Thinking on these things in Luke's gospel, isn't it amazing that the story of the Good Samaritan is told in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10? The story of the man that was injured on the road to Jericho, the Levite and the priest crossed on the other side. And this most human story is the story of the Savior's love for men. And then you also have in Luke's gospel that most human of human stories, the prodigal son. The Father's love for sinners, all recorded that it might reflect the amazing grace of God to sinful men. And when you're fallen, when you're down, when you are sinful, Jesus is the Savior you need, because he was made in our humanity. He tasted death in the body for us. He bore our sins. And he also understands, because he was tempted in all points like as we are tempted. And so this is the revelation of Christ. Now when we come to worship the Lord, back now to these cherubim in heaven, these four beasts in heaven leading the worship, what are they emphasizing? Emphasizing that our Lord Jesus, he's the Lamb sitting upon the throne, and he's representing us, interceding for us. That's the revelation to us. We come to the last one then, which is the flying eagle, and that leaves us with John's gospel. Now, I don't need to speak to you about the eagle soaring in the sky. I'm sure you've seen it many times, the flight ability of the eagle. Nor do I need to remind you that the gospel of John is the gospel of the divinity, the deity of Christ. Right in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he is the revelation of the Father. And of course, he went to the cross, and in his divine nature, he cried out, "It is finished." What was finished? Our redemption by an almighty Savior who was man, yes, but he was also God in the flesh. And his blood, his deity, his sacrifice is of supernatural value. And when we come to worship, we must remember that Jesus is God of God, and he is in the full likeness of the Father. And you notice in Revelation 4 that the cherubim, or these four beasts as they're called here in Revelation 4, what do they sing? What do they shout? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And you can lisp that with the Lord Jesus in your heart and mind, because he is Jehovah Jesus. He is the Almighty Savior. And so if your Bible doesn't lead you to worship, then it's not true Bible religion. If your faith does not bring you to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus as the complete Savior, then you fall short of worshiping him. What an awful thought that there will be many in this world who will be shut out on that great day. We have a world of technology, a world of information, a world of Bible presentations and ministry of all kinds. But men and women who are not rightly related to the Lord Jesus will be shut out. A minister once told how on a Sunday evening he was quarantined to his home because one of the children in the home had diphtheria, and he was not supposed to leave the home. As he stayed at home on that Sunday afternoon and evening came on, the church right beside them, the congregation was gathering. The lights came on and the service started. He could hear the singing. And as he watched from his home, he grew more and more envious, wanting to be in there. And he couldn't help it, but he left his home and he went right to the window of the church and he looked in and he saw God's people at worship. And he said it struck him. What will it be like for men and women who supposedly have an interest, but are shut out and not allowed to worship the King, not allowed to enter in and join the praises of the Lamb? This is going to be our great privilege as Christians. We are going to be invited in, and the Lord will go before us. And I'm looking forward to seeing these four beasts, the lion face, the calf, the ox, the man, and the eagle. I'm looking to see those worship leaders, and I'm looking to see the elders too. And we're going to be invited to bow down and join in that heavenly chorus. This is the prospect of the people of God. And if you're a Christian tonight, never, never stop showing your interest and delight in worshiping the Lord Jesus. It has to be the greatest privilege in heaven and in earth. And if you're not a Christian, you need to become a worshiper here on earth. You need to give your heart to the Savior. And if you think of those four scenes of Christ, he ought to be your king. He ought to be your sacrifice. He ought to be your, what was Luke? Luke was the, my mind is going here. Let me get it. The man's face, the book of Luke, the real human nature of the Lord Jesus. He is true man. And he is truly of your nature. You can go to him. You can trust in him. And then the eagle, his divinity, his deity. I trust tonight that you will worship him with all of that fullness of Christ and give him your worship and your praises.
What wonderful and beautiful pictures we have of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Do you notice that Christ is deeply embedded in the Scriptures? Indeed, we could say that He is in every book, every chapter, every page, and every text of Scripture, because the prophets wrote of Him. And the New Testament, well, it's all about His story, the story of His coming into the world, incarnated in human nature by a miracle of the Holy Ghost. It's the story of His perfect life and His death on the cross. Then, as the apostles went forth in the New Testament, they preached the resurrection, that Christ rose again, has defeated death, and purchased everlasting redemption for us. This is the glorious gospel, and I pray today that you put your faith in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Why are you holding back? Why do you not give your heart to Christ today? It will never be easier than it is now, for now is the day of salvation. Now is the time and opportunity to be saved. And I beg you to throw down every arm of resistance and give your heart to the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Unite with me in prayer. Father in heaven, hear our cry, and I pray Thee to save sinners. Give faith to that soul crying out for peace, and may Your name be exalted in the salvation of souls today. We thank Thee that Thou art able to save, willing to save, and, O Lord, we pray Thee to send the Holy Spirit to work that miracle in the heart. And so we give Thee thanks for this opportunity to preach Your word today, and we ask Your blessing. O Lord, bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.